A giant fish eating me is a minor part of my story, but it's the part that gets the most press. My story arguably sounds like a big fish tale, unless I give you some historical context.
Jonah is famous for being swallowed by a big fish. He could also be known for being a great prophet who saved an entire city from destruction. Hosea was the last prophet to the northern kingdom. As a symbolic act of Israel's unfaithfulness, God commanded him to do something quite unusual.
The country of Israel reached its maximum glory under King David, who conquered almost all of Israel's surrounding countries. After the reign of his son, King Solomon, the country split into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. From that point on, the northern kingdom fell into financial, military, and spiritual decline. I came on the scene preaching about 2 centuries after the glory days of King David, when the northern kingdom was just a shell of its former self. While the northern kingdom declined, the dominant empire of the region was to the north, the Assyrians. They were a cruel people, showed little mercy to their enemies. It was clear to me that Israel was fast becoming their target. It was also clear to me that the Assyrians worshipped false gods and would severely punish the Israelites who worshipped the one true God. Fear. No. Trepidation. No, fear and trepidation. God commanded me to go and preach in Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. At best, I would be captured, tortured, and killed. At worst, the Ninevites would repent, and God would not destroy them. I wanted them gone, wiped out. It seemed the safest option, in my mind anyway. Still, neither option was good. I decided to run from God. I'll go to a distant country, I thought, a country far from Assyria. At Joppa, the main port on the coast of Israel, I boarded a ship headed for distant Tarshish. A little sea air, cruise if you will. Good plan. Until a squall blew in, God sent a horrendous storm to stop my ship. To appease God's anger and avert a complete disaster, sailors threw me overboard. God sent help to save me from certain drowning. I was swallowed by a great fish. I prayed in the belly of that fish for 3 days and nights, and it vomited me up on the seashore. Dry land. Terra firma. The Lord commanded me to go to Nineveh again. This time I went. The Assyrian city of Nineveh was enormous. I walked it for a full day, and I still only covered a third of the city. I started preaching. In God's name, I proclaimed that the city of Nineveh would be overthrown in 40 days. All of the Ninevites believed me. Believed it was God's words. They began to fast and pray. And as it turned out, you know where I'm going with this, my nightmare came true. God forgave all 120,000 of my Assyrian enemies. He saw how they turned from their evil ways, and he did not bring the destruction on them that he had threatened. Mad. No, furious. No, mad and furious, and I pouted. I didn't know it, but God had placed me at a great crossroads of history for a purpose. I failed my mission by pouting instead of preaching. Yes, I brought the Ninevites to repentance, but I did not stay to bring them to long-term belief in God. If I had done so, they surely would have shown more mercy to the Israelites several decades later, when they completely destroyed the northern kingdom. My attitude, my pathetic attitude and selfishness, cost my fellow Israelites immense suffering, countless lives. Instead of being known as the runaway coward swallowed by a giant fish, I could have been the example that Jesus would point to in the far distant future when he would say, "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you."
Amos and Hosea were prophets who preached in one of the rare times in the history of the Northern Kingdom, when there was economic growth and prosperity. Under King Jeroboam II, the Northern Kingdom had temporarily recaptured Syria, Moab, and Ammon. The kingdom was in a brief time of peace and prosperity. Seemingly, things were going well. Few people pay attention to prophets when things are going well. Amos and Hosea were the last two prophets to preach to the Northern Kingdom. God chose for them to give their messages in distinctly different ways, though they both prophesy the destruction of the Northern Kingdom if its people did not turn away from its false gods and back to the one true God. However, as often happens in such prosperous times, social corruption, oppression of the poor and helpless were growing, and those who were economically prosperous were turning their attention to entertainments, immoral entertainments, and were neglecting God. In addition, the Assyrians were on the verge of expanding their empire, and the Northern Kingdom was square in its sights. And as the people turned to Jeroboam and his government for security, God sent Amos. Now, Amos was not a prophet by profession. He was a simple shepherd and a fig farmer from the southern kingdom. But he preached to the northern kingdom and its two major cities, Samaria and Bethel. Amos gave them the message that the prosperous kingdom of Jeroboam II would soon end. And he taught them that security came through trusting God, not trusting in a government. And he reminded the people that God rules the affairs of mankind. Amos told them that God wanted them to act with true morals and economic justice, not just offer up empty religious sacrifices. And he reminded them that their agreement with God included righteous lives and lifestyles, not just empty religious rituals. God wanted his people to worship him and him only. Amos also said that in no uncertain terms, that if the people of the Northern Kingdom did not repent and behave, God would react quickly and violently. Well, God saw that the people of the Northern Kingdom did not respond to clear and pointed messages, so he chose another way. A way very different than a preaching Amos. Symbolism. God commanded Hosea to act in symbolic ways, and every name, every action, every response in his life seemed to have symbolic meaning. Hosea was my husband. Oh, he did not want to be a prophet. He did not train to be a prophet. But when God started speaking through him, he obeyed completely. God ordered him to marry me. Well, not me by name, just somebody like me. Hosea was commanded to marry a promiscuous woman, someone who would be adulterous, and he chose the right person. My father was so overjoyed to marry off a daughter with such an awful reputation as mine. Our marriage was to represent the fact that the people of the Northern Kingdom were engaged in flagrant whoring with false gods. I can still see Hosea trying to explain that symbolism to his parents and his friends. Oh, they begged him not to marry me. Oh, that his life would be miserable. But Hosea obeyed God, married me anyway. Gomer. Everybody in town knew about me. God commanded Hosea to have children. They were to be named according to the messages God wanted to send to the Northern Kingdom. These were to be the images God used to describe Israel. So we had three children. Jezreel, my first son's name, God sent the message that he was going to destroy the northern kingdom. Loruhamah, not loved. My first daughter's name. They sent the message that God would no longer show love to the people of the northern kingdom, but he would have pity on the southern kingdom. Oh, God was going to show incredible mercy to the southern kingdom. Should have moved to the southern kingdom when I got that message. And my last child, Lo-Ami, not my people. My baby's name sent the message that God would no longer have pity on the northern kingdom, that he disinherited them. God no longer wanted to be known as their God. Can you imagine that? God telling you that he no longer wants to be known as your God. Ooh, that message took even me to my knees. Three precious children and a fine man for a husband, Hosea. Well, the chances of somebody like me ending up with the life I had was a miracle. Really, but I wanted freedom. I wanted to feel alive. I resented all the restrictions of married life. At first, I would just sneak off. In the end, I left home altogether. Lived with another man. Maybe you think I didn't love Hosea. Maybe I didn't. I was just part of an experiment, wasn't I? To walk out on three precious children. That is when God used me to describe the faithlessness of the Israelites to him. See, the first part of Hosea chapter 2 is like a description of my life. God was through with the northern kingdom. Though he desperately wanted them to love him, they wouldn't have it. They wouldn't commit. They were incredibly faithless and void of all love. Just like me. Trading what is priceless for that which is worthless. Sickening. Endless love and grace spurned. And unbelievably, Hosea turned up on my doorstep. He gave the man I lived with 15 shekels of silver and some barley. No doubt he paid way too much for somebody so worthless. He redeemed me. Not only that, he loved me again, despite Hosea loved me. And I agreed to be faithful. We agreed to be faithful to each other. But true to the symbolism of my marriage representing the Northern Kingdom, you can guess that maybe I didn't stay faithful. Just like the Northern Kingdom entirely ignored my husband's symbolic messages and the verbal prophecies that he gave. They ignored the one true God who loved them and instead worship false gods. God's patience finally ran out for the Northern Kingdom after 2 centuries of his existence. The Assyrians were victorious over the Northern Kingdom, annexed much of its territory. And after a 3-year siege, they captured the capital city of Samaria, completed their conquest of the Northern Kingdom. They deported most of the inhabitants into small and scattered communities throughout the Assyrian Empire. Over a very short period of time, this effectively eliminated the common identity of these people. They resettled Assyrians into the lands of the Northern Kingdom. And these Assyrians quickly adopted and integrated the habits and religion of the former inhabitants and intermarried with them. And over time, many of these people became known as the Samaritans. Why did God allow the Northern Kingdom to be completely destroyed? The Bible specifically says that this happened because the people sinned against God. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Those are the words of Peter in the New Testament. But they seem written with me in mind and the Northern Kingdom. And maybe you. God was patient, but God finally had enough. Enough of unfaithful hearts.